Turning your Bibles to John chapter 20, we're of course continuing our study of the Gospel of John. And we're at the near end of the book. I mean, we're seeing the greatest event of all time, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In fact, think about this. We can go to the slide. He died on the cross to pay for our sins. It is finished. That's His words on the cross. It is finished. He has paid the penalty for all sins, and He rose again on the third day, conquering death. So when we think about the truth about Jesus Christ and the good news message, it is the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're seeing the appearances of Christ after His death and resurrection. The Scripture actually gives us 10 places that He appeared. We've seen the first two already. Look at these 10 appearances. Let me just show you. Remember, He appeared to Mary Magdalene at the tomb, and then He appeared to the other women as they were going from the tomb. This morning, we're going to actually see number 3 and number 4. We'll see where 1 Corinthians 15 talked about that He appeared to Peter on that same day. In fact, that was the third appearance. We'll talk more about that in just a little bit. And then two men on the road to Emmaus. That's found in Luke 24. We'll be going there. The fifth time He appeared was to the 10 apostles. Thomas wasn't there in a room. Then the sixth time was about 8 days later. He appeared to all the apostles. Then the 7 apostles by the Sea of Galilee. That's John chapter 21. 500 people are mentioned in 1 Corinthians 15 that they saw Him at one time. Then He appeared to James, who was His half-brother. 1 Corinthians 15:7 mentions that. And then the last thing was in Jerusalem, on the Mount of Olives, outside of Jerusalem, to all the apostles. That's found in Acts chapter 1. So there are the 10 appearances of Jesus Christ that are recorded in the Scripture after His death and resurrection. And this morning, we're going to see number 3 and number 4. And we'll go quickly through them. It's, of course, narrative, and it's a powerful thing. As we study, let me raise some things to think about. One is, Jesus Christ is alive. Now, that's true for right this second. He's alive. He's alive right now. He died and rose again. He's alive. We have a risen, living Savior. We've come together on a Sunday morning because Jesus Christ rose from the grave on the first day of the week, which is Sunday. We as a group of believers meet together on the first day of the week in memory and honor and glory to our risen Savior. Second part there is, do you know the Old Testament Scriptures? And what I'm talking about there is, if somebody said to you, go into the Old Testament and show the verses that talk about Jesus, could you go do that? And then the third part is, what is our response to the resurrection of Jesus Christ? What are we to do? We'll see it as we go through our passage. You know, God's Word is true. It's perfect. We know the Word of God. Our goal at Stillwater Bible is to teach the Word of God. We do what we call expository teaching, which is verse by verse, passage by passage, as we go through the Bible. Now, a lot of churches talk about the Bible, but they don't teach the Bible, and there's a difference. Bill Hybels said this, you don't get a well-fed church from serving fast food. A Gallup poll was conducted several years ago, and listen to this. Here's what it revealed. 60% of Americans do not know what the Holy Trinity means. Now, the Holy Trinity is the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. 66% of people in the United States could not say who delivered the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus delivered the Sermon on the Mount. 79% of the people were unable to name a single Old Testament prophet. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, those are all prophets. When people are questioned about the Bible, whether it's on radio or television, it's remarkable how much they do not know. Jay Leno did The Man on the Street. You know, he does that. I've got this down where one night he got some young people outside and he said, let me ask you some questions about the Bible. And so he said this, can you name one of the Ten Commandments? He asked two college-age women, and one of them said, freedom of speech. Right? Freedom of speech. Mr. Leno said to the other one, complete this sentence, let he who is without sin, and she said, have a good time, right? Mr. Leno then turned to a young man and said, who, according to the Bible, was swallowed by a whale? The confident answer was Pinocchio, right? Do we know the Word of God? Can we put it together? How well do you know the passages in the Old Testament that point to the Messiah, Jesus Christ? What if somebody came to you and said, don't use the New Testament, just show me what the Bible has to say about the Messiah, the Savior, in the Old Testament? What would you do? This morning we see Jesus appears to two men on the road to Emmaus. That's a little town, and they're going to Emmaus. Jesus appears to them. He teaches them the Bible. In fact, it actually says he takes them through what is called the Law and the Prophets, which we'd call the Old Testament. He takes them through the Bible, telling them about himself. Would you like to have been there for that? It would have been incredible. This morning, we're seeing the appearances of Christ. The third appearance is to Peter. The fourth appearance is these two men. Let's begin just a brief review. Remember, Jesus has died on the cross. He's paid for our sins. He was buried. He's done it all. All we do is trust in Jesus Christ, your Savior, has done it all. He was buried by Joseph and Nicodemus. 3 days have passed. He has risen from the grave. The women went out to the tomb. They were going out there just to anoint the body. They weren't expecting the resurrection. When they got there, the grave was empty. One of the women, Mary Magdalene, said, "I'm going to go back and get Peter." And she left. And angels appeared to these women and said, "What are you looking for Jesus here for? He's alive." And so they left. Peter and John came. They looked in there. They left. Mary stood by the tomb, weeping. Jesus is behind her. She doesn't know it's him. She turns around, and she thinks he's the gardener. And she says, "Where have you put the body? I'll take it." He says, "Mary." She recognizes the voice, and she calls him Rabboni, which means teacher. And we're going to see that more in just a minute. Then, after she leaves to go tell people, Jesus appears to those women who had been at the tomb, and they're on the way. Now, we brought this up last week. In the first century, in that culture, a woman's testimony didn't really count. So you've got the first two people who have seen the risen Lord who can say, "I have seen the risen Lord," are women. We're going to see the other part. Now, look at John 20. I want you to see where Jesus gives instructions to Mary Magdalene. Verse 17 of John 20. Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me. I have not yet ascended to the Father, but you go to my brethren and you say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and my God and your God." We said last week that he was telling her that, listen, we have a unique relationship now. For her to stop trying to hold on to him because he's going back to the Father. He's going to be seated at the right hand of the throne of the Father. But he's saying that we're a family. When you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, you become a part of the family of God. And so what happened? Mary Magdalene came announcing to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he said these things to her. She said, "I have seen the Lord." What are we supposed to do? We're to tell people that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Often on Easter, and Easter's about a month away, We get up on Easter Sunday morning, we say, "He is risen," and then we all shout out, "He's risen indeed," and we remember it once a year that Jesus died and rose again. We should remember it every Sunday that Jesus died and rose again. And then as we go out these doors, we should remember it every day as we proclaim the death and the resurrection of Christ. Let's see the third and fourth appearances of Christ. And let's look, we don't want to turn there, but in 1 Corinthians 15:5, here's what it says. It says that he appeared to Peter. That's what it says. Now, when did he appear to Peter? I want you to see this. You can hold your place if you want to there. Turn to Luke 24. Now, that's not very far. Just go back to the next book, to Luke 24, and I want you to look at verse 33. Okay? And I'm going to get you there first before I tell you what's going on. So turn back to Luke 24, verse 33. In Luke 24, verse 33, the two men on the road to Emmaus that we're about to look at have come back to Jerusalem to tell the people, "We have seen Jesus." When they get back, before they can really say anything, the disciples say, "Jesus has appeared to Peter." Look at verse 33. They got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem. That's the men on the road to Emmaus. Gathered together with the 11, that's the apostles, the disciples, who were with him saying, this is what the apostles were saying, "The Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon Peter." That is the third appearance of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to notice, look at the verse. Let me read it again. This is in the New American Standard, but listen what it says. "The Lord has really risen." In the Greek, it says, "He has risen indeed." That's why in the first century, when people would greet one another, they would say, "He is risen," and then somebody would say, "He has risen indeed." That is the third. And so I think we've got a slide. That's the man who went to the road. Go ahead and go on to the next slide. They came back to Jerusalem. Go to the next slide. I'm going too fast. I didn't look around. So go back one more. the Lord has risen. And they said, He has risen indeed. He's really risen. Well, He's risen indeed. Now, let's see the fourth appearance, okay? And that's coming up. Two men. I want you to turn to stay in Luke 24, but go back to verse 13. I'm going to go quickly through this just because of time. But what has happened? This is the day that Jesus has risen from the grave. This is a Sunday. Women, Mary Magdalene has seen Him. Some women have seen Him. Peter has seen Him. And now two men who doesn't know all of this, all they know is that Jesus died and that people went out to the tomb and they didn't find the body. That's all they know. They don't know He's appeared to anyone. They're going back home. They're going to a little town called Emmaus. It was 7 miles from Jerusalem to the south. Look what happened. Verse 13. And behold, two of them that day were, going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. So they're on the way back home. Now watch what they were doing. And they were talking with each other about the things which had taken place. They were talking about the things that had taken place. What were they talking about? Think about this. They said, Jesus died. He was crucified. They thought He was the Redeemer. See, they believed that Jesus indeed was the Messiah and the Savior. And they thought, okay, He's the one, He's the one. But then they saw Him die and they saw Him put in the grave. And they said, wow, that did not end well. That was not what we thought. We thought He was the King, Messiah, the Savior. They hadn't put it together that He had to die and rise again. And then the word is out that the body's not there anymore. And so either they're saying to themselves, He could be risen, or somebody got the body. We don't know. Now, here's what they know. They know that the women went to the tomb and it was empty. They know that some angels appeared and told them that He was alive, and that others went to the tomb and it was empty. So they've heard the rumors that some angels had told the women that He was alive. That's all they know. They're talking with each other about these things. What if you were there? What do you think they'd be saying? They'd be saying something like, I don't know what's going on. Do you know what's going on? No, we thought He was the Messiah. We thought He was the Redeemer. But you know, some people said that the angel said He was alive. But I don't know. Do you think those women actually see angels? I don't know. And well, all we know is the tomb is empty. And so they're talking. Verse 15. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus Himself approached and began traveling with them. Now that's not unusual. In that day and time, if you were going to be traveling, you usually tried to go in groups of 2, 3, 4, 5, because robbers sometimes waited for for if a guy was walking by himself, robbers might jump out and beat them all up and take their stuff. And so you always tried to go in groups. Well, suddenly you two guys are walking and another person joins you. That is not uncommon. It said, while they were talking and discussing, Jesus Himself approached and began traveling with them. Listen, they don't know it's Jesus. Look at the next verse. Their eyes were prevented from recognizing Him. How did He do that? I don't know. He's God, right? He can do anything. They're talking to Him. They don't even know it's Jesus. So look what happened. And He said to them, what are the words that you were exchanging with one another as you were walking? And they stood still, looking sad. Now they're talking, and Jesus comes up, and you know what He says? What are y'all talking about? Well, maybe not Mississippi, what y'all talking about, but what are you discussing, right? And they stopped. They stopped walking. And it says they were looking sad. Now, if you believed that Jesus is risen from the dead, are you looking sad? No, they don't know what to think. And they're looking sad. And if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, He's not the King. He's not the Messiah. He's not the Savior. Paul said, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, of all people, we're the most to be pitied. They're sad. One of them named Cleophas answered and said to Him, this guy's talking to Jesus, he didn't know it was Jesus. And he says, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here in these days? He basically says, don't you know what's going on? Are you just now passing through as maybe you hadn't been here at all? Do you don't even know what's happened? Did you just get to town and you don't know what's going on? So look what Jesus says. Jesus said, verse 19, what things? What are y'all talking about? And they said to Him, the things about Jesus, the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and in word and in the sight of God and all the people. They began to talk about Jesus. And he said, don't you know about Jesus? He was the prophet. He was mighty in word and deed. Look, his words were the seven I am statements that you find in the Gospel of John. You remember the handout we used to give you that had the seven I am statements? I'm the bread of life. I'm the light of the world. I'm the resurrection of life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. All of those. And then his mighty deeds, the seven signs that he did. He changed the water to wine. He walked on the water. He healed the nobleman's son. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He fed 5,000. He did all these things. They said he was mighty in deeds, his deeds, and his words. We saw him. He was a prophet. He was mighty in the sight of God and all the people. Wow. And they go on to say, the chief priest and our rulers delivered him to the sentence of death and they crucified him. They said, they killed him. The one who did all the good, the one who was mighty in word and deed, the one who we believed as the Messiah, the religious leaders killed him. They killed him. But look at the next verse. But we were hoping that it was the one who was, that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it's been 3 days since this happened. They said, we thought he was the Savior. See, to redeem Israel, Israel's always waited for the Messiah. From Adam and Eve on to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to Judah, to David, they've all looked forward to the Redeemer of Israel, the one who's going to come and die and pay for sin and rule as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and rule as the King of the Jews. And they've waited for him and they said, we thought he was the one. See, here's the problem. They got Psalm 2 correct, because Psalm 2 says he's going to come rule with a rod of iron. And they got Isaiah 9:6 right, that he is the mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the everlasting Father. But they missed Isaiah 53, that he's the suffering servant, the one who's going to take the sin of mankind, the one who was bruised and wounded and crushed for our iniquities. They missed that. They said, by the way, it's been 3 days since all this happened. But notice what they say. But also some women among us amazed us. Women amazed us. Why? Because they went to the tomb early in the morning. They did not find his body. They came saying they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Now, that was before Jesus appeared to these women. So these guys don't know that Jesus has appeared to anybody. All they know is the women went out to the tomb and it was empty, but angels told him he was alive. They went and told the men. Angels came to us and told us he was alive, and I'm sure they looked at them and said, yeah, right, right. And they said, they've amazed us because they said they had this vision of angels and they said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went out to the tomb, found it just as the women said, but we didn't see him. We didn't see him. We don't know really what to think because the women said he was alive, but we went out to the tomb and sure enough, his body is not there, but we didn't see him. In fact, as far as we know, nobody's seen him. Now, at this time, he's appeared to Mary, he's appeared to the women, and he's appeared to Peter, but they don't know it. They know that the body's gone. Was it stolen? What could have happened? Remember, they're sad. They're not having joy. They're sad. They think he's dead, and they think somebody probably took the body. The Old Testament said that the Messiah would be the greater son of David, and he would take the sin of mankind upon himself, and he would pay the penalty, and he would be bruised and crushed for our iniquities, and he would die in our place, and he would rise from the dead. They didn't put it together. So what does Jesus say to these men? Verse 25. He said to them, O foolish men, slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. And he calls them foolish. And the word literally means dull. It's like, hello, you're not getting it. Haven't you remember what the scripture says? He said, you're slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have written. Now, the Old Testament prophets wrote about the Messiah. Beginning at Genesis 3:15, it promised the Redeemer, the Messiah, the one who would come, the coming Savior, that he would die and rise again. That's what it promised. The prophets proclaimed the death and resurrection of the Messiah. Now watch what he says. Foolish men, slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. And then listen to what he says. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? The suffering these things is his death. The enter into glory is his resurrection. He says, wasn't it necessary the Messiah would die and rise again? See, they hadn't put it together. See, we say it all the time. We say, here's the gospel, the good news. Jesus died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again. We say it all the time. So if I said to you, what's the gospel? You'd say, it's the death and the resurrection of Christ. If you tell them, what was the Messiah supposed to do? Most of them would say, he's going to be the king and the savior and rule. What about dying? I don't know about that Isaiah 53 passage. I don't know if that means he's going to die. They never put together his death and resurrection. He basically says, don't you get it? Wasn't it necessary for the Messiah to die and rise again? Listen, he had to suffer to die for sin, Isaiah 53. He had to enter into his glory. That's resurrection. That's Psalm 16. If you read Psalm 16, it says God would not allow the Holy One to see corruption. Jesus is not going to stay dead. Now watch what he did. Watch what he did. Verse 27. Then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. Now, they don't know it's Jesus, so he says, let me just show you about the Messiah throughout the Old Testament. He didn't say Old Testament. Of course, he called it the Tanakh, the Torah, the Nevi'im, and the Ketuvim. That's what the Hebrews called it, the Tanakh, because it had three parts. The Torah, the first five books, the Nevi'im, which were the prophets, and the Ketuvim, which were the writings. Now, in this part, he just says, sometimes just called Law and the Prophets, Moses and the Prophets. Moses wrote the first five books, and then the rest sometimes was called Prophets. Sometimes it was called the Writings and the Prophets. It's just according to how they said it. He took, just think, he started at Genesis and went through the Old Testament saying, that's the Messiah, that's the Messiah, that's the Messiah. Think about it. In Genesis, he's the creator and the seed of woman, Genesis 3:15. In Exodus, he's the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he's the great high priest who offers himself as the final sacrifice for sin forever. In Numbers, he's the one lifted up on the cross. In Deuteronomy, he is the lawgiver. In Joshua, he's the savior who takes the land, because you know the name Joshua and Jesus are the same name. In the book of Judges, he's the deliverer. I'm not going to go through every book. In the book of Ruth, he's the kinsman redeemer. In Samuel, he's the son of David. In the book of Kings, he's the eternal king. In Esther, he's the protector of the people. In Isaiah, he's the suffering servant and the coming king. In Daniel, he's the son of man who will rule forever. In Micah, he's the one born in Bethlehem. And in Zechariah, he's the one who's coming again. That's who he is. Can you see Jesus teaching that? Wouldn't you have loved to see Jesus go over here, over here, over here? I bet there were verses we'd go, really? I never saw that one. Right? Wouldn't you have loved to hear Jesus? And I guarantee you one day, you know what you can do? Go up to him and say, hey, would you take us through the Old Testament like you took those guys? Don't you wish you'd have been there? Do you know the Word of God that you can go to those books? And you can point out in Isaiah 9:6 that he's the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Eternal Father. You can go to Zechariah 14 where he comes to the Mount of Olives as the King. Genesis 3:15, the seed of woman. Numbers 21, the one lifted up. You need to be able to know the Scripture so that we can say to people, this is how it fits together. Warren Wiersbe said this, in the Old Testament, we have the preparation for Christ. In the Gospels, we have the presentation of Christ. And in Acts through Revelation, we have the appropriation of Christ. Those guys, let me tell you, while they're listening to this guy teach, you know what they're thinking? This is the best teacher I've ever heard in my whole life. Watch. Verse 28. They approached the village where they were going, and he acted as though he was going further. They were stopping at Emmaus, and he said, well, it's good walking with y'all. But they urged him, saying, stay with us. It's getting toward the evening. It's getting dark. And the day is nearly over. So he went in and stayed with them. Watch when he had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished out of their sight. Then you know what I think happened? I think when he broke that bread and he handed it to them, they saw the places. And I think they went, oh, it's him. And then he disappeared. And they went, where'd he go? Where did he go? It was him. Was that him? It was him. I didn't imagine that, did I? This is real, right? He was there. He was there. It's a good thing it was two of them. Because there's one of them, the guy said, I just dreamed this whole thing. It was two of them. They saw him. It was his fourth appearance. Look what they said. Verse 32, they said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? I told you he's the greatest teacher ever. And when he was teaching them, they were going, oh my goodness, I've never seen this before. I've never understood this before. I've never put this together before. This was the best I've ever seen. See, the Word of God, it's powerful because it's alive. It's effective because it never comes back void. It accomplishes its purpose. It's beneficial because it's inspired and profitable. They have seen the Lord. Now, what would you do if you were these two guys and you had seen the Lord? You'd get back and you're going to go back to Jerusalem and you're going to find the rest of those guys and you're going to say, guess what? We have seen him. Now, you don't normally travel at night because it's already nighttime. They're going to travel 7 miles in the darkness to get back to Jerusalem. And that's what they did. And they got up that very hour and they returned to Jerusalem. And they found together, gathered together the 11 who were, and those who were with him. When they got back, they found the 11 disciples and a bunch of other people. And guess what the 11 disciples say to them? Saying, the Lord has risen indeed, really risen, and he has appeared to Simon. As they got there, they said, we got some news for you. He said, we got better news. He's already appeared to Peter. And they said, he appeared to us. They begin to relate their experience on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of bread. Let me tell you something. Jesus is alive. He's alive. He's alive right now. You know where he is? Seated at the right hand of the throne of the Father. He's going to prepare a place for us. John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. When I get ready, I'll come back and get you. He can come back anytime. We just don't know when. We don't know when it's already. We don't know when he's going to come get us. He's seated at the right hand of the Father doing two things. Not only one is preparing, but he is our advocate and our intercessor. When you sin, he's your advocate. And when we pray, he's our intercessor. That's what he's doing right now. We have seen now four times Jesus has appeared. Let me give you some application. Rejoice because Jesus is alive. You know, if we win the basketball game, we stand up and we go, yeah, this was so great, yes. I just said to you that Jesus Christ is alive. And we go, yeah, it's really good, yeah. Why don't we ought to be knocking over the chairs and high-fiving and clapping and everything else, right? Why? Because death is conquered. Sins are paid for. He's alive. He is the suffering servant who rose from the grave. Second application. Let's tell others about Jesus Christ. Let's tell them. Because what these guys did, as soon as they realized it, they went back and told. And what did the women do? They went and told. And we're going to find that every time people realize what's going on, they go tell others. And we tell them that he died and rose again. And that he is the Savior and Redeemer. And all who believe in him will never perish but have everlasting life. And listen, if you have never understood the message of salvation, right where you're sitting, you can understand that Jesus died for you. He paid for your sins. He rose again, conquering death. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way to get to God except through Jesus. And if you will simply believe in him, that means you trust in him to give you life, to give you eternal life, a relationship forever with God through Jesus Christ. It's not your works. It's not your goodness. It's not what you do. It is simply you're trusting Jesus Christ as Savior, and you can do that right where you're sitting. The third application, be able to put together the Word of God. Think about it. Let me put this part up. It's powerful. Hebrews 4:12, it's alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. It's effective. Isaiah 55:11, never void, never accomplished, always accomplishes its purpose. It's beneficial. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, it's from God for our profit. Realize you have the Word of God, which is alive, powerful, effective, beneficial. Pass it on. Realize many books can inform, but only the Word of God can transform. May we know the Word, living it out, proclaiming the truth of Jesus Christ, who died and rose again, paying for sins and conquering death. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a passage. Thank you, Lord, for these great truths. Help us, Lord, to understand it. Thank you that Jesus is alive. We rejoice that Jesus is alive, that death is conquered, sins are paid for. Thank you for that, Lord. May we tell people, may we go out these doors, may we proclaim the greatest message of all. Thank you for the Word of God. It's alive, powerful, sharpening two-edged sword, profitable, effective. May we know it. May we apply it. May we pass it on. May we tell other people. Thank you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.